So pleased to have with us now Scott Petrick. He covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Vic.
Well, let's take a big picture, because you and I haven't talked in a while about this team, and really now that the offseason workout's well behind us and we're a matter of a few weeks until the start of training camp now, getting a feel for some of the bigger topics to address. One, of course, always is the quarterback position. And just the sense that, do you have even an inkling of doubt in your mind as to how this goes down with Brandon Whedon? I mean, are you fully bought into what you've seen of him and what he means to this team?
Yeah, I have. And you can see it right from the get-go. He's tall, big, has a great throwing motion, and that's something I really look for. I know everybody does, but I love a guy who stands tall in the pocket, throws over the top. And not only does he have a big arm that can make all the throws, and he made all the out throws and the deep balls during the minicamp and OTAs, but he's got good accuracy and good touch on the underneath stuff. So to me, he's got the complete package throwing the ball. He's got the size you're looking for. He's a smart guy. I think the only question that needs to be answered is how he does when he gets the NFL pass rush in his face, right. And you're not going to find that out until preseason.
Yeah, that at the earliest, we'll get a feel for that. We'll see on some of those training camp days, but wearing that red jersey, no one's supposed to even be able to breathe on him.
Exactly.
Now, as we look at the quarterback picture, the real question mark then is how the rest of that depth chart is going to round out. And, Scott, there are a couple of ways you can look at it. I mean, one is that Colt McCoy has the right demeanor, I think, personality, to fill that number two spot without a lot of static that you'd give to the locker room or whatever. And but the flip side of that is, does he have enough experience to really help out with what he sees and knows to share with Brandon Whedon?
Yeah, that's a good point, Vic. I think the thing with Colt is, if Whedon were going to miss an extended period of time for injury, he breaks his arm, God forbid, then I think you want Colt McCoy to be the guy that steps in and can play for 4, 5, 6 straight games. But if you needed a guy to come in the second half to provide a spark, or it was, a minor injury that was only going to keep Whedon out for a little bit, I think Seneca Wallace is a guy you want to come in and finish the game, because he's done that throughout his career. And Colt's never done that. Colt's, in 2 years in the NFL, hasn't had to come off the bench once, and he didn't have to do it at Texas.
Right.
So I think you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Colt's younger. I think his future in the NFL is as a backup, so why not let it be here? But is he the perfect backup for this situation? And that's what I think the Browns are trying to find out. And at the other half of that is, they need to get something in trade. If not, why would you get rid of him? Because he improves your football team by being on it, unless somebody's willing to give you something to make a trade.
Something of substance, and that's hard to do when the market is pretty well in their view. It's to your disadvantage. They know you're trying to unload them, and so it'd be hard to see what somebody might give up. But desperation can change things.
Right, and we're not going to see it happen until camp starts, until either a team that runs the West Coast finds out that their backup is not who they thought he was, or gets hurt, and then you might get a New Orleans or a Green Bay or maybe even a Philly to feel the urgency to go get a guy that could step in and start, because Colt's proved that he can play in this league. We just don't know if he can be a long-term starter in this league.
A lot is said, too, about the type of personality that a backup is and how willing that person is to help out. How bought in are they to the notion that, okay, they're not the starter, they're there to support, and whether – a guy, say, like Seneca Wallace, where the question has come up, how willing would he be to do that? I think he's publicly sort of said that he would, knowing what Brandon Whedon means as a 22nd overall pick, but, it didn't really work out that way in his relationship with Colt McCoy. So that's one question I guess I have. But the other part of it is, how important would that really be when you've got a guy like Whedon at 28 who his maturity level, his exposure to pro sports already, does he really need that, in other words, if the guy isn't that supportive, would that be that big of a distraction to him?
I don't think so. I think you could get a guy who's a perfect backup. Jake Delhomme, when he was here, he was the ideal kind of guy. His personality, his willingness to mentor, his experience in the league, in that offense, Now, when you get a guy like that, it's a bonus because he can take a guy and he can calm him down on the sideline. He did it with Colt when Colt played in 2010. He took him on the sideline and said, hey, this is the NFL. This, you're going to get hit. All this, you're going to throw interceptions. But if you don't have that guy, I don't think it's a detriment. I think there's plenty of quarterbacks out there who, you know, don't have that strong leadership. And, you know, in with today's coaching staffs, I mean, they got Pat Shurmur, Brad Childress, Mark Whipple, Nolan Cromwell. There's plenty of guys to give you those pieces of advice during the game or during the week that you need.
Right.
So, to me, that's way down the list of things I'm looking for in a backup. I think you do need the guy who's willing to take that step back, not make waves in the media, not make waves in the locker room, because that's when the situation gets dicey, is when half the team thinks one guy should be playing and half the team thinks the other quarterback should be
somebody else. Yeah. We're visiting with Scott Petrick. He joins us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Scott, the offensive line, a topic of conversation, and, again, one that whether the questions are settled completely or not in the minds of a lot of folks, I would say it's probably not resolved that okay, this team has a much better or far more improved line than it was a year ago. I would say yes. I would say that the knowing that Mitchell Schwartz has got that right tackle thing down, that it's a younger, healthier body there, just at the beginning makes that conversation the right one to have. And then the expectation that the two young guards, Jason Pinkston and Sean Laval, are older and probably growing into their positions better.
Yeah, I think Schwartz is going to be an upgrade at some point. You know, I mean, I know that Tony Patchell struggled last year, but the guy deserves some credit because he's playing on one foot the whole year and gutted it out for the team. But he wasn't at his best, and especially toward the end of the year. So Schwartz is a big guy, which you need at right tackle. He's a smart guy. He's going to pick up the system. And I think this is a line that come, let's say, week 8, week 9, will still be getting better because Laval and Pinkston are only going to be really starting their second years. I mean, Laval's in his third year, but he didn't play a whole bunch as a rookie. And then Schwartz will have 8 NFL games under his belt. And then you get Mack and Thomas, who are the mainstays. So I think this line will be better from the get-go, but then will only get better throughout the year. And then you're starting to look at a line that's all of them are young, all of them are pretty good athletically, and they have size. And you're starting to talk about a strength of the team over the next 5 or 6 years.
Sure. Yeah, that's where I'm going with it. How about the tight end position? Because this is where you look at the collective group, and I think you can feel okay. Mm-hmm. But who do you feel great about? I mean, who can in your mind, can you expect to jump out and give this team the type of tight end that some of the teams are getting, like the Patriots and, you know, Atlanta, the Chargers, Cincinnati, I mean, that have really, New Orleans, really strong tight ends?
Yeah, I think Jordan Cameron gives you the biggest upside because he's young, because he doesn't have a whole bunch of football experience, that potential is still there, and he's athletic. We've seen him. And I'll tell you what, I didn't see anything out of him as a rookie. Yeah. And through OTAs and minicamp this year, you already saw way more. I mean, I saw practices out there where you make 5-6 catches downfield, good catches in traffic. So I think there's a chance that he could really step up this year. And, you know, I like Benjamin Watson. I think he's an above-average NFL tight end. What worries you is the concussion history from last year. He says it's not an issue anymore. You know, he's getting up there. He's over 30 now. But I think he still has another year or two where he can be productive. I don't think he's Gronkowski or Hernandez. But I think if you pair him with the athletic guys like Cameron and Moore, you can get enough out of that tight end group, even more than enough. I think it can be an asset to maybe take some pressure in the passing game off of those wideouts.
Who else jumped out at you during the offseason workouts when you just left and said, this guy is going to be special?
That's a good question.
That you didn't believe maybe before.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if you go on defense, you know, I think Buster Skrine, the second-year corner, has a bright future. I think we're going to see him work into the rotation with Sheldon Brown and Dimitri Patterson. You know, Hayden's going to be on the field every snap.
Yeah.
I think those other three guys will maybe rotate snaps where you see Skrine play some in two receiver situations. If you get three wide, if you get three wideouts, maybe see some Sheldon and some Dimitri. So I think he's got a bright future. You know, Travis Benjamin, I thought started off slow in the rookie minicamps and then got better throughout camp. And Pat Shurmur talked about it, and it was evident that not only can he beat coverage, which we saw it, he got over the top of every corner that tried to cover him, is he can catch the ball down the field. And that's not always easy for a guy that's only 5'10", 175. So he showed a little bit. You know, and then it's tough on the lines, you know, because they didn't hit anybody.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I assume Schwartz is going to be fine. He's got everything you want out of him, but we haven't seen him go one-on-one in those pass rush situations yet.
Scott, great stuff, and thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime, Vic.
He is Scott Petrick. He covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Check out his great work there. And we've got much more coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.